I was here in the morning. It was good, and I'm very happy to see you again. I want to talk about what we are doing in Congo. Before that, I would like to give you my testimony, how I became a Christian, and how I got that vision. I don't know, Pastor, how many minutes do I have? Okay. Oh, good, good. I didn't know that you loved me up to that level. Yeah, he knows what is happening. Okay. I was born. I'm in the family of 9 children. 5 from my mom and 4 from my stepmother. I will make the story very short because it's not a good story. Yeah, my mom died when I was 8 years old. And after the death of my mom in 1978, I think I was 9 years old, my father got married with another young woman, a young lady. She was 16 years old. And the difference of age between her and my elder brother was 4 years. And she was a teenager taking care of children. And it was, when my father was not there, it was the children playing. She didn't know what to do with hers. When she got her first child, now she started pushing us a little bit. We had a very tough time, and finally, we decided to leave the house of our father. And my mom left 3 brothers and 3 boys and 2 girls. And when I was almost 19, it was just too much, you see. In my country, don't leave the family until you get married, boy or girl. Here, you leave, the child can leave the family and live by his own if he's mature enough from 18, 19, or 20. But in my country, you live with your parents until you will get married. You can be 25, 30. You live with your parents. And 18 years old, 19 years old in my country is nothing. You are really a child. And the 3 of us, my elder brother and my young brother, we decided to leave the house because it was just many injustices between the children. And I took the direction, I went to Zambia. From Kinshasa, where I was living, to Zambia, it's about 3,000 kilometers. I don't know, maybe 2,500 miles, you can say here. It was really far. I didn't have money to pay the plane, but I just pay it. I jump on the truck, and in my country we don't have roads, as you know, and we spent 2 months from Kinshasa to Zambia, to Lusaka. My elder brother went to Angola, and my young brother went to Congo Brazzaville. As you know, we have 2 Congo. Congo-Kinshasa is my country, Congo with the capital city, Kinshasa, and Congo with the capital city, Brazzaville. French people came as for the colonization, and Belgian people came the other side in my country. And I went to Lusaka. I didn't have a passport, I didn't have the visa, but we just entered by bush, and I found myself in Lusaka. My brother, my elder brother, who went to Angola, became snake hunter, and finally he was bitten by a snake. He died. My young brother, who went to Congo Brazzaville, was not a good boy. He was, I don't know what you call it here, he was using his gun to get in the house of people and steal things. And finally, he got shot and he died also. But I had a chance. I went to Lusaka. I was now a child of the street because I didn't have a house where I could stay. There is a man who, when he saw us, he put us in the very, very small house. It didn't have windows, it didn't have only door, and no pavement, and this is where we were staying. And finally, next to us, and a church was there. It's an African traditional church. I don't know if you heard about Kimbangu Church. The Kimbangu Church is a church from Congo, the prophet Kimbangu, and now it's a big church almost all over the world. But it's not really a Christian church because too many syncretism. They consider Simon Kimbangu as the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, in Zambia, people do not like school. And there is a missionary from the Mennonite Center Committee, Rhoda M. Shirak. She came there as a volunteer to help people in that area to learn English. But Zambian people didn't like it. Very few were coming. And that man who gave us that small house said, ask us, if you have time, you can go and to the class, English class. And this is where I learned the English that I'm using today to communicate with you. And we were 11 Zairois at that time. Now we are the name of our country changed to Zaire, from Zaire to Congo, but it was Zaire. And we started attending the class, but I was very dirty. All the time I was going there, I was really dirty. And I was the youngest. One day, Rhoda looked at me and she asked me a question. What do you want to do in your life? I say, I don't know. I could not even understand the question that she was. I say, maybe because I knew that she was a Christian, she was a missionary. I said, maybe one day I would like to work for the Lord. I want to be a pastor. But she was not laughing. She was very serious, looking at me. I could see on her face, she was really sorry of me. She said, what are you doing here? I say, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I'm here. How did you come here? I say, I don't know, I'm here. Do you have a passport? I say, no. I say, how? This is another country. How did you? I say, yeah, I'm there. You see, The children off street have their own language. They don't speak normally. I used to speak in a very strange way. And finally, she said to me, "Do you want to be like this all your life?" I said, "No." And she said to me, "I know somebody who can help you." I said, "Oh, this is really good. Who is that one who can help me?" I said, "Jesus Christ can help you." I was laughing as you have no idea. I never laughed that like that time. I said, "Jesus, show me that man." And he said, "No, you cannot see him, but he can help you." It was, welcome, brother, welcome. Yeah. This is the way I'm very happy to see my brother come. And she was very interested to me, with me. She said, "Jesus can help you." I said, "Okay." And finally, all the time when she was coming, she brought me a blanket. Yeah, because she knew that I didn't have a blanket. She brought me a blanket. And the second time, she bought me a clock. And she was bringing me small things and asking me, "Do you have a book?" "No." And one day she asked me, "Do you want to come to my church?" She was attending the Mennonite church. But in Zambia, we don't have Mennonite church, but we have Brethren in Christ church. It's the same network as the Mennonite church. Say, "Okay, there is a church." And on Sunday, she came to take me. And she had a car and took me to town to the church. And she introduced me to the pastor, Pastor Sikwangala. I don't forget his name. He said, "This is one of my students where I'm teaching English, and I would like, he's my good friend, and he's interesting to be a Christian." And finally, she is the one who helped me to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. 1 year after, she was coming back here, and she wanted to help me to come to America or to go to Zimbabwe. She said to me, "Didier, I want to help you to leave Lusaka and come back with me." I said, "Oh, this is a good news." "Okay, you need a passport." And she gave me some money to go to our embassy to look for a passport, but I didn't find a passport. And after 1 year, when she was ready to leave, she said to me, "Didier, you need to have a passport." I said, "I cannot have a passport." I said, "Okay, I'm going." I said, thank you, Rhoda, because I feel much different in my life. I feel like the Lord is now in my heart. I was a spiritual baby, but I had that faith. I said, "I will not leave you here. I need to go and talk to Pastor Sinkwangala, so that you stay with him, or you can stay in the Christian family. And she took me to Pastor Sikwangala. Pastor Sikwangala said, "Okay, right now," he was afraid of me. He said, "Oh, is the Zairua are chiefs, are many pro. They didn't trust me now." And finally, I was staying there and coming to the church. I remember the day she was leaving, She cried like a baby because she was leaving me. And I said, okay, bye. The Lord will take care of me. You see, as we are used to say that. But I didn't know that when I was saying that, it was really a prayer. And finally, she came here. Once in America, she met with somebody here who was coming to Zambia. And she talked to that person, Ernest Turner, about me. He said, are you going to Zambia? To Lusaka? I said, yes, as a missionary. I have my good friend, a good boy. Please help him if once you are in Lusaka. And when Ernest Turner came, he forgot about it. But one day he said, oh, I need somebody to help me in my house here. But Rhoda told me about a certain DDA. I would like to be in contact with him. Now, he sent his, the man who was working with him with a small letter. He said, go to Chazanga. This is the area what I was staying. Look for this boy and come with him here. And one day, I seated. I saw a man coming. His name was Mirinda. He said, I'm looking for Didier. Do you know Didier? Because they say that he's living here. I said, yes, he's the man who is in front of you. I said, no, I'm looking for Didier. Didier. I said, yes, he's the man who is in front of you. I said, Didier. I said, yes, I'm Didier. He looked at me. I was very strange looking. And he could not say something, but finally said, somebody wants you in town. It was about 4 hours walking to go there. It was far from the place I was staying. I didn't have the money to pay the taxi or the bus. I said, okay. I will go. And I had that letter, that note with me. And the following day, I went there. He was the neighbor of the president. His house was next to the president. It's in Lusaka, but the area I was staying was like here in America. And when I reached that place, I saw the gate. And from the gate you could see inside. And when I came there, a very big dog came. Oh, oh, oh. And I was there with, and he heard that the dog was there, and he came. I saw he was a young, he was handsome, young missionaries with the short. And he came to me, okay, what can I do for you? I say, no, send somebody to look for me. Oh, no, I'm sorry, I didn't send somebody to look for you. I say, yes, you sent somebody to look for Didier. Yes, I'm looking for Didier, but not you. I say, I'm Didier. It was very strange. He say, are you Didier? Okay, he opened the gate. I was in. I took my cousin because I went to Zambia with my cousin. We were in. He was very afraid, and he called the dog. The dog was near him, and they said, "Okay, come on, come on." And he was in the distance there, and he took us a very nice house, sit there, and he went to his house talking to his wife. And the wife just came from the window with a very strange face, say, oh. And finally, after 30 minutes he came, he said, are you Didier? I say, yes. Give me something that can show that you are Didier. I had Reg. Reg is the national registered card of Zambia. I show him the Reg. I say, you are Zairo. How did you get this? I said, this is my Reg. Just look my name and there, and do not ask me too many questions. He said, I don't trust you, but I trust Rhoda, who told me about you. He said, you are a good boy. I trust him, but I don't trust you. Who is this man? I said, he's my cousin. I said, I don't need him. I said, if you don't need him, I will go with him, because I knew how he was suffering there. I said, if you accept me, accept him also. If you don't accept him, I will go with him. He looked at me, said, okay, I will deal with you, but your brother will be there. He gave him a house there. I said, okay. And he sent me to school to learn how to cook. I don't know how God did. I became a very good cook, a professional. And it was very good. I spent a long time with him. But one day, this was in 1992. In 1994, I was in my room. I could listen like a voice speaking to my heart. Do not ask me how. I don't know how to explain it. But it was a very deep conviction. Didier, go back to Zaire. Didier, go back to Zaire. I was resisting, but finally, that voice was very strong. And finally, I was very sad because I didn't know how to tell that to my boss. Because he loved me as you have no idea. I was almost like his son. He gave me the right to go in the house. He could leave even 1 month, 2 months. He leave everything. He will find it the way he left it. And I was a blessing for him. But when I said, I feel like I need to go to Zaire. He said, Didier, why? Am I hurting you? Tell me if I'm doing something wrong. And he said to me, as you want to be a pastor, I will send you to South Africa. We have a college. Because it was the legal representative of the Pentecost Holiness Church in Africa. He was taking care of all the action, missionary action in Africa. And they have a very big college. He said, I will help you. I just want you to improve your English and to know how we live. I say, yes, I know that you want to help me, but that voice is just too strong. I don't have peace. It took him 2 weeks, and finally he said to me, okay, my wife and I decided to help you to go back, but we give you 3 months, and then you will come back. I jumped in the car, and it took me to the border of Zambia, and it's a long distance. And he said to me, okay, Didier, he hugged me, please come back, and gave me some money. When I crossed the border, I felt like I lost something. I saw people very different. Zambia is in Africa. Congo, my country, Zaire, it's also in Africa. But people there are a little bit different. But here I could see the misery. People were very, but that time, you see, I was living in the house of a white man. I was in very good health, very strong, very handsome boy. And I just took my taxi to Lubumbashi. But I didn't know somebody in Lubumbashi. But I said, maybe I made a bad mistake. What am I going to do now? I had my two bags, luggage, working, but it was getting dark. I asked the price of the ticket of the plane. They say, oh, it was very expensive. The money I had was not even the half of the money of the ticket. But they say, okay, you can go to the cargo, pay to the plane that is taking only goods, and you will go to Kinshasa. Because my family is in Kinshasa, was in Kinshasa. Okay, finally, it was in the afternoon. I didn't know where to go, but I found a house, very big house. I said, okay, I will ask these people to keep my luggage. Then I will go and look for the ticket to go to Kinshasa. And I knocked the door. I saw a woman. Okay, come in. And I was there. I said, I know that you don't know me, but I have a problem. Will you please keep my luggage? I'm going to look for the ticket because I need to go to Kinshasa. Because I was very nice looking. Oh, she trusted me. She said, okay, I will be waiting for you here. And I gave her my luggage, and I went to look for. When I went there to the company, they said, we have just too many people. You need to book 6 months in advance. And I was going back very tired, and it was dark. I said, now I go and get my luggage, but where am I going to spend the night? When I was going there, and I saw that woman was not there, it was inside the house. And said to me, oh, come. I said, why are you so sad? I said, I didn't find a place. They say it needs 6 months. And I said, okay, go there. Your room is there. I prepare everything. You will spend the night there. To make everything short, that woman was my mother-in-law. Yeah. And this is where I met my wife. And from that time, it was in May 20. I don't forget the day. It was 21st of May. The Lord gave me the vision. He said, okay, I will help you, but you will also help others. And this is where I received the vision to help the orphans in 21st May 1994. And also, I talked to Annie, who is now my wife. Yeah, she was very young that time. I talked to her. I said, I think you will be the mother of my children. We will have many children for our own, but God will give us also many children from. And she always remembered that. And after 4 years, we got married. But when I spent 6 months in the house, and finally the father of Annie paid a ticket for me to go to Kinshasa. Because I could not go. He just said, oh, if we don't pay attention, this boy will stay here forever. Let's just do something to send him to Kinshasa. And once in Kinshasa, when my father looked at me and said, ah, you are back. Okay, your room is there. Go and do what you can do. Your room is there. And finally, I was very, very disappointed. I said, God, why did you send me here? Now, I have nothing to do. At least in Zambia, I had good food. I have my job. And I could go one day to for my studies in South Africa. But now, I was very sad all the time. But Rhoda gave me two things. English Bible. I have that Bible until now, today, and one concordance, which is helping me. And one day I was, I opened that, the concordance, I saw a small paper there, MCC, Mennonite Center Committee, Zaire. I said, oh, do we have a Mennonite Center Committee here? I said, okay, I will look for the office. I went to town, I looked for the office because Rhoda used to work for Mennonite Center Committee, and I found it in town. And I went there. Thierry Sawaski and was from Canada, and his wife was the legal representative of Mennonite Center Committee in Kinshasa. I knocked. They came. I said, "Okay, what can we do for you?" I have something to share with you. "Okay, come in. Very nice people. Come in. Okay, sit down." I said, "I'm from Zambia. I'm a friend of Rhoda." Rhoda. "Oh, yeah. Rhoda, I'm sure. We know Rhoda. And what can I do for you?" I said, "I'm here. I'm almost lost. I left my country 5 years ago. I came back. I don't know what to do. If you have a job, something, just help me to do that." No, this is not normal. "I think this is Brian. Please." "Thank you." I am very happy because I was not eating. I was not eating. If I was eating, I will not go there. We are just sharing. And say to me, Thierry Sawaski said to me, "Gentlemen, I don't know what to do for you for now. Did you complete the high school?" I say, "Yes." "Oh, okay." He just got a paper. He gave me an address. He said, "Okay, go to this man and talk to him the way you talk to me. I don't know what God is going to do." And I went to that man. And he was the dean of the seminary. And he was a professor of that university. When I went there, I said, "I'm from Thierry Sawaski, and he sent me to you." He looked at me, said, "Who is Jesus for you?" I said, "No, Jesus is my Savior and my Lord." "Okay, tomorrow come, you will start the class." And I spent 8 years at that seminary. And this is what I had my degree in missiology and theology. It's the best seminary in Kinshasa. Very, very good. And MCC paid everything. And you see how God was. And it was in 1994. I don't know, and I didn't have the church there, and I was attending the Mennonite church. And the pastor, who was the dean of the faculty of missiology and theology, became also my pastor. He said, "Okay, you come to my church." And he said, "I was a good singer, very good singer. And I was not ashamed to share the Lord. And I was evangelizing, bringing many people to the church." He said to me, no, you can start the church." And in 1996, I was a student, and he sent me to start another church. In Kinshasa, I planted two churches. But finally, I got married in 1998, and I was a student, but also I was a pastor, young pastor, and too many sacrifices. I was not expecting people to pay me to do the work of God, and I was not complaining. People will not understand me. I said, "What is motivating you to do all that?" They say, "Oh, I don't know, but I'm just motivated." And in 2002, I completed my studies, and in 2003, I met with Papa Jim, Papa Jim came to Congo with her daughter, who got married with a Congolese man. He wanted to see the family, but he said, I will not spend my time in Kinshasa like that. I need to do something. But he came to the seminar. It's a very big compound, very big, and with many, many, many buildings there. And you see, it's white people used to live there. People from America, people from this is the seminary which belongs to missionary from America and Canada. Now, nice houses there, and finally, but they had a problem of the plumbing problem. They say, okay, I will fix. The seminary was using me as an interpreter, as an assistant. Because in my country, if you have A, they will keep you at the seminary or at the, as an assistant. This is what happened to me. I was very smart, and they kept me there. If there is a professor from America teaching in English, I was there to interpret, but I didn't get paid. It was a very, and if I was doing that job. And finally, Papa Jim came. He wanted to do something, but he didn't have somebody. He said, okay, Didier, as you are a little bit free, you can help him. I was helping him, carrying water, doing, and he was very surprised to see the way I was very active. And when he finished, he was ready to come back. He said to me, I would like to see your house. I said, okay, come and see. And when he saw my house, he was even afraid to get in my house because he thought the house is going too far. I said, no, come in. It was just a very big one room. I was staying there with my three children. I said, okay, sit down. And it was like this. And finally, I saw the tears coming. And he said to me, can you accept that I help you? I said, yes, of course. And he said to me, what is your vision? What do you have in your mind? I said, I suffered a lot as a child. But the Lord helped me a lot using people. If the Lord can give me a chance to have something, I will like to help orphans and abandoned children. He said, this is a very big vision. This is, he was thinking in American way. This is a very big vision. I say, yes, it's a very big vision, but if it's from God, it will happen. If it's not from God, it will not happen. He said to me, okay, I have my ranch in America. I will sell it, and I will send you some money. This is not a good condition. God is faithful, my brothers and sisters. I am not telling a liar. I'm in front of the chair. This is the chair. I was not complaining when I was working for God. But this was like my salary for many years of the work. For the first time, somebody gave me $30,000. It was that man. When he came here, he said to me, I had five daughters. One died. Do you want to be my son to replace that one? I say, yes. That's why I'm calling him Papa Jim. He's now like my father. And when he said, okay, pray for me so that somebody can buy my ranch. And he came back here and he sold it. He said, okay, I gave all my children money, and this is also your money. And he sent me $30,000 US dollars. Yeah, this is the money I used to buy the property and to build my house. And this is how now I say, okay, the Lord, this is a great opportunity to serve you. But before that, when he came back to America, he sent me the money to look for a bigger house. He said, leave this house. This is not a good house. And I found a good house. And he said to me, okay. I said, okay, I will go and help the children in Zambia. I was a Mennonite pastor. I spoke to my church. I said, this is the vision I have. They said to me, it's a good vision. Do you have the money for the tickets for what? I said, I will talk to my sister who is in Germany. I will look for my ticket. But I will pay my ticket myself. But once I'm there, I want you to support me. My church in Congo accepted. And I talked to my wife. And she was making donuts. And she could save a lot of money. In Kinshasa, people were buying donuts a lot. My sister from Germany helped me with some money. And Papa Jim also helped me with some money. And we went to Zambia. Once in Zambia, my church abandoned me. I suffered again a lot. 1 year, no support from my church. And he came to visit me in Zambia. He said, how are you doing? I say, I'm not doing fine. This is what is happening. He said, oh. He said, no, I think let's go. And he paid a ticket. I left my family in Lusaka. You need to listen to this part. It's very interesting. I left my family in Lusaka. He paid for me the ticket to go to Kinshasa. He met with the leaders of the church. He said, do you know this man? Oh, no, Pastor Didi, our missionary. Your missionary? What are you doing? He said, oh, yes, you know, the vision is good, but since he's there, we never found the money to send him. He said, my son, let's go. And we went back. He said, what are you going to do now? I said, I don't know. We need to pray. Okay, let's go back to Zambia. Took a plane, Lubumbashi. At the border, they said, okay, everything is good with the white man, the American, but you go back to Kinshasa. Say, no, I will not go back to Kinshasa. My family is in Lusaka. You want me to go back to Kinshasa to do what? They didn't want to give me the visa. It was from 9 up to 17, up to 5 p.m., I was there. They don't want to give me the visa. And it was getting dark. Papa Jim said, Didier, I must go now. And there is a taxi man who came. He said, these people, if they say they will not give you the visa, they will not give you the visa. You need to look for another solution. What is the solution? I say, I'm a taxi man. We need to put this man in the trunk and go. It was the last solution. I said, to me, it's a good idea. And what about you? I said, if it's a good idea for you, it would be also a good idea for me. Let's go. And it was 70 kilometers. I was in the trunk. Yeah, because we have many police there. They are checking. And from there up to the first town, many police. After that, it's good. And he was there in front, and I was in the trunk. I'm a tall man, and I was like this. I said, this is a little bit like the experience of Jonah. I'm like in the, this is very, I was tired, and after, when we reached the town, he said to me, okay, here we are. I was tired. I could not work properly because I was in the same position for a long distance, 70 kilometers. about 50 miles. And he said to me, okay, we jump in the bus. One 100 kilometers before we reach Lusaka, it was around 2 a.m. at night. The bus stopped because policemen. I just take all what was in my pocket. I gave it to him. Why are you giving? I say, yeah, I will remain here. You go, I will follow you. And they get in, passport. Hey, great. And when they reach where I was, I show them my passport, but not renewed the visa. They told me, oh, you Congolese, you can come to the country of somebody like me. Come, come. And I was a big fish for them. I say, okay, give me $100. I will pay them and I will come. When I say, why are you in our country but you don't have a visa? I said, because you refuse to give me the visa. My wife and my children are there. I'm living there. But when I went to my country, you didn't come. What said to me, your wife and your... What are you doing? I say, no, I'm a pastor. They looked at my profession in the passport. They say, pastor, missionary. I say, oh, yeah. And what is the phone number of your wife? And they call my wife. They say, oh, yeah. Okay. I was just praying in my heart. And the bus was gone. And somebody from America, I didn't know the town. I said to him, wait for me at the bus station. Don't move. Just wait for me there. And I just trusted God. And finally they said, okay, you will pay the penalty and we will give you 1 week and you need to go back with all your family. And they give me a small paper. I pay them and the receipt. And another bus came. Okay. And in the morning, I saw him there just walking. When he saw me, he started crying. I said, oh, here I am. Okay, you need to go back home. This is what God doesn't want you to be here in Lusaka. And finally he said to me, what do you want to do? I said, I don't know. I'm an ordained pastor in the Mennonite church. But now we went there, they said, we have job, but we don't have a salary. He said to me, you have children, how are you going to live? I say, what are you going to do in Lubumbashi? I said, you know the vision that I have. If I can help orphans, it will be okay, but I want also to start planting churches. Do you mind if I speak to my pastor? I don't know what the elders are going to say, but I will speak to everybody. If it's okay. Now, when he went to Bonas Ferry, he spoke to his pastor. He said, okay, we will adopt him. But that time, they were sending me $130 every month. And all the money was coming from Papa Jim. And he was getting poor. He was getting broke because helping the work of God in Africa, you need to be with God because our poverty is just too deep. If you don't pay attention, you will become poor but our God is faithful. He can always provide. But the church said, okay, and after the adoption of Joel, the parents of Joel started also helping me. And finally said, Didier, I need to go back to my old church. I used to go to my church when I was in Placerville. When I came here, it took me also here. Yeah, this is a little bit the story of the beginning of the ministry. But when I was in Lubumbashi, then he sent me $30,000 I bought the land and I built my house. It was in the bush. I didn't have the neighbor, because that money was much money if you buy the land in the bush. But if you buy the land in the city, it was not enough money. But it was a fighting between me and my wife. My wife didn't want me to go there. I said, Ani, if you don't have faith, just hold on my faith and you will not be disappointed. But now she's very happy that you have no idea, and she respects me. She said, oh, I'm happy to have a man of faith. Yes, you need to be very proud of me. I'm not boasting myself, but I trust in the Lord. You need also to learn from that. And we went there, no road. The avenue bear my name, because I was the first one to be there. I cut the avenue myself, and now it's a very big area. Many people are there, and we are respected. My people love me as you have no idea. I have respect there. This is the way. Now, we started. I said, okay, come. We will see what to do. And from your help, from the help of the church, the First Baptist Church in Buenos Aires, from the help of CBC Church, now we built the orphanage, we built the guest house, and we are doing what we are doing. Our vision is to help 200 children in 25 years if the Lord will not come back, if we will be still alive. Yeah, this is our vision. I started to get a little bit discouraged because it's a very difficult ministry, but when I came here, I saw the children, the way they are in the families, I feel very encouraged. I say, God, thank you for allowing me to come here. I feel very encouraged to continue to do what we are doing. And I would like to thank you, my brothers and sisters, very much. Very much. Because when we came here in 2009, you didn't know us, you didn't know me, but you trusted God. And you see what God is doing when we trust on Him. And I assure you that God will bless you. It's not a way to speak, but it's biblical. If you give, God will give you. God will never ask you what you don't have. God will never ask you what He didn't give you. I think what you are doing is very good. From your financial help, from your prayers, even my life is improving. You can see that last time when I came here, I was a little bit different. But now I'm changing also. It means God is happy to see me like this. You see, and when God is happy, he will keep blessing you and us. And this ministry will go ahead, and the Lord will be glorified. This is in shortcut what concern the ministry, and apart from that, we have also churches. I think many of you are sending money to support pastors, because I said, Lord, I worked for many years as a volunteer pastor for 4 or 5 years. I didn't get a salary, but at least help us to have food for the pastors, and help us to be encouraged. And when you hear about us, you are helping. And the pastors there, Pastor Peter, Pastor Damien, Pastor Mickey, are very, very encouraged. And they are doing the work of God. And now Pastor Peter is going to the seminary. We are praying so that we may have enough support for him. We would like also to send Pastor Mickey to the seminary, which will be something very, very important for the future of the ministry in Lubumbashi. I don't know if there is a question. Yes. Yes. Good. This is my family. You can see Didier and my wife, Annie, and my six children. God gave me many children in a short time. I don't know. And they are very, very, very nice people. If you look, they are very nice children. If you come there, they will welcome you in a very, very special way. You will like it. They are very, and yeah, my family.